and welcome to the Liberating Podcast.
And you are. Welcome to it.
So, let's get this show on the road with...
What road? It's not a road. It's more of a motorway, more of a pathway, more of a footstool.
To destiny and back.
Pardon? What?
I know. Right, on with the news.
Yes.
Here comes the news.
I hope it will amuse.
The news people.
What is it? What is the news?
Well, that's a good question. The news is...
I've got to go and get my laptop because I left it over there and that's got all the news on.
Ah, technical difficulties in the form of an moron who doesn't know where to put his keys. Do apologise.
Sorry, it's almost
He's put as much use as a chocolate fire guard. Look, now he's given me stuff. I'm sorry, we're so professional.
I had to get something, didn't I?
What?
I was going to trip over something. I asked you to hold the laptop so I didn't smash it to pieces.
Oh, my lord.
Right. Let's get the news.
And the news is...
It's just on that bit there. Not much news today, actually. Asylum of the
Pretty
Daleks.
Pretty pointless doing the news, then.
I know. We have to do something, otherwise we're going to lose these people.
Okay, let's go.
Asylum of the Daleks. 6.38 overnight. Viewing millions, you know, that kind of thing. And breaks the record in the USA. I know. If we have any USA listeners, that's a bit of news for you.
Hi, folks. There we are. That's just lost most of them, I would imagine.
Yes.
Howdy! Howdy, cowboys!
No, I think you just
lost...
That's
how Americans talk!
No, you've just lost every single person who listens to this.
Okay.
Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, 5.5 million overnight viewings. And A Town Called Mercy, the highest so far in the series, with 6.6 million. Now that's quite impressive, but was that because Strictly Come Dancing was on before it?
I would imagine so, because last night's has seen another dip to around the 5.4, 5.5 million.
Which is quite a shame. We're recording this on the Sunday after... The Power of Three ran out, which was kind of good. We'll review that next week, though, because we've got the first three episodes to do this week. But now!
Now he tells me.
Well, I told you to read the plan! Let's start with my reviews. Okay, last week, as you may recall, I did a
last
review.
Last week? About last month, we haven't been here, though. Anyway, last episode.
Last episode, I reviewed Primeval Series 1 and 2. Now I'm going to review Series 3 and 4. I can hear you sleeping.
Oh, Primeval. Primeval, it's not one of my faves, I've got to be honest.
Well, I'm doing your favourite series. Series 3. Okay, these are my favourite two series of the show. I mean, come on, getting Layla Rulis and Jason Fleming in to do the show was a really good idea. And the characters were quite good too. In Series 3, we are introduced to Sarah Page, who works as an Egyptologist and is teaching people about mummification and gets told off for the amount of detail she uses. Later she joins...
Like you and your reviews.
Nobody tells me off, though. Later, she joins the Anomaly Research Centre working on sources of myths that could be creatures from the past. In the next episode, we meet...
Device.
Danny Quinn, played by Jason Fleming, who works as a police officer.
He used to have a career. Sorry.
He sends
Jason
a camel...
Jason Fleming, not Danny Quinn.
He sounds... quite good. Well, he is quite good. He's one of the best characters on it. He sends a camouflage beast back through an anomaly and reveals his brother Patrick was killed by a creature. In the third episode, Mr. Nikata, who always talks very slowly, is shot in the chest by his insane wife, Helen Cutter. For a short while, Jenny is... Well, you always say he talks very slowly, so I was doing
okay.
A very
I didn't say
slowly.
That. Was Staggering Stories podcast. Check it out. It's very good.
Yeah, hi, Staggering Stories. We give
Better
you
than mission. Hours. They know what they're doing. I tell you, it's unbelievable.
Well, we're only
anyway.
In the fourth episode, so, you know. In the finale of the longest series, Helen is killed and Connor and Abby are left stranded in the Cretaceous period, with Danny stuck in the Rift Valley in the Paleocene era. This has some really good action and chemistry of the characters, which is why I enjoyed this series so much. Series 4 is a year after Series 3 and shows the new team in place. I won't go into detail with this, but it involves a very shocking death of a kid, some creatures escaping, and a stalker guy called Ethan. In the finale, Danny returns and Ethan turns out to be Patrick, who hasn't been killed. Ethan runs through an anomaly and Danny goes after him. At the end, Connor works out if the anomalies grow at this rate, you know, it could cause the end of the world.
And if you haven't understood any of that, look it up on Wiki. What am I here for? Come on!
Well, you're going to help me with these next reviews.
Ah.
We're now going on to Doctor Who.
Doctor Who?
Now, if you haven't seen Series 7, then there's no point in you listening to this podcast because...
Whoa! Don't lose any more listeners than we already have through our incompetence and rudeness!
It's not my fault!
If you haven't seen any of Series 4, go and watch it. Come back.
It's on the...
Don't just say... Why'd
you say Series
4? Go away.
Okay, I apologise. It's on iPlayer. And other places. We're going to start with the series premiere of Doctor Who Series 7 with Asylum of the Daleks. I'll let you start off with this, Dad.
Well, Asylum of the Daleks, written by Stephen Moffat, which has gained a huge amount of fan cred and love on the internet, forums, review pages, magazines, whatever. I'm afraid I've got to say, I'm not one of them. It was an okay episode for me. I was a bit disappointed, to be fair. I'll be honest. You know, where was the sort of...
Every single Dalek.
...quality that we were promised?
Daniel,
you know, every single Dalek that we'd seen was going to be up on screen. It was going to be this big, epic movie thing. And it wasn't. It was just a bit of a normal runaround. And I think it was just a smoke scene to cover the obvious appearance of Gemma Louise Coleman, who, to be fair, was very good in it, as was Matt Smith.
She was probably the best thing about the episode, if I'm honest with you.
But, you know, I just really didn't gel. I really found it quite uninvolving, and I can't understand why everybody just raves about it, which just goes to show that, you know, different strokes for different folks.
There are different kind of fans in Doctor Who, the crazy fans, yeah.
I was just really expecting some sort of epic with all the Daleks, and it's not really what we got. We just got a load of old Daleks that you could hardly see because they were all covered in dust.
Can I just say...
And it just focused on the gold ones, which has suddenly reappeared for no better reason that everybody hates them and the BBC has had to backtrack on it.
Can I just say, I didn't realise that there were so many old Daleks and I only saw the special weapons Dalek. They were that covered in dust, I didn't recognise them. See, this is what you do, Stephen Moffat. You turn...
Whoa, let's not get personal now. He's already come off Twitter. We're not going to sort of single out anyone for blame.
Well, he wrote the story. He promised we were going to get all this new Dalek.
Well, I think, like I said, it came down to a smokescreen to sort of throw people off the jack of Jenna Louise Coleman being in it.
True.
Which, to be fair, worked perfectly, and well done for everyone for keeping it a secret. It was a nice surprise, but for me, it was just a very average episode.
And a Dalek Prime Minister, I mean, come on.
Yeah, but, you know. Hey.
Maybe we'll be more impressed another time. I've seen it twice. No, thrice.
Well, I've seen it twice. I enjoyed it more the second time, but it's still... I've got a lot of problems with it.
I enjoyed it more the second time. Third time I watched it, I didn't really watch all of it, to be honest. Okay, Dinosaurs in a Spaceship. This, for me, was a much better episode than Asylum of the Daleks. What about you, Dad?
Yeah, it was better. It was still had a few problems. I think it still could have done with a bit of a script polish, but I did like the characters. I definitely liked the Silurian arc setting. It was a lovely design. Had some really good, fun moments. It was a romp. It was meant to be a romp, and it does that perfectly.
Ryan Williams has got to be one of my favourite characters in the whole series.
Very good. Very good indeed. And, you know, it had some nice lines there. Bit rude in places. But, yeah, it was okay. I enjoyed it.
What have you got in your pockets? Oh, me boy.
Thank you. Lowering the tone again. But, no, it was nice. And, yeah, some good fun moments. Good villain for a change. You know, I think one of the faults of the Moffat era is that we haven't had really strong villains. And I think, you know, maybe that's something they really need to sort of up the ante with a bit. We need some proper villains.
Which I totally agree with. Now, those characters in it, is the Doctor's gang, I really like to be brought back. Like Riddell, Nevi, all those other ones. They would be great. So, on to the final review today. Well, I say final review, but final review of Doctor Who, A Town Called Mercy.
Now, I really enjoyed this, I've got to say. I love the Western setting. I thought it was used really well. I thought it had a really good moral sort of argument in the story. I thought Ben Browder was fantastic. It's a shame he wasn't in it much more, but for what he was, he really served the story well, and I really thought it was good. Some nice performances. I love the design of the gunslinger. The music score was fantastic on this episode, I have to say. Using all the sort of Western tropes, really, really good. And Matt Smith was just phenomenal in it.
I love the darker side of the Doctor. It's something we don't really see much, but in this episode you see it a lot more, and I really enjoyed it.
But that's not to say there wasn't the fun in it as well, and I just thought it was a really nicely balanced episode. Really, really good.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I
and I thought that. It was wonderfully directed. I think some of the shots in that were just stunning. Some of the camera angles. But now, you know, what's this now? I mean, a lot of people are sort of saying, you know, there's a lot of Christmas references in this series. Has that got any point, do you think?
So what?
We're getting Christmas lists. We're getting, you know, lots of Christmas trees and Christmas references in last night's episode. So, you know, what we got here? What's going on? Anything?
I honestly don't think it matters.
Maybe it's just people reading too much into it. I'm not sure. It's the same with the light bulbs. Apparently, you know, there are lots of light bulbs in every episode.
Light bulbs?
Well, yeah, you know, you've got the light bulb with Jenna Louise Coleman. Brian's changing the light bulb. There's all the light bulbs flickering in the Western town.
What's that got to do with anything? What's wrong with light bulbs?
I don't know. People just read into things. Okay. Anyway, last night's...
Before we go into last night's, could I just say something about A Town Called Mercy? Well, more or less what the people are saying about this. It doesn't matter if the Doctor occasionally swears, okay? He said it, so what? You can't shoot him, you can't sack him, get over it. Okay, Power of Three.
Power of Three, brilliant. An absolute return to form. My favourite episode of the series so far. And do you know why? Because it was like a Russell T. Davis episode.
Oh, it was, wasn't it? It was so brilliant.
And it was good. I mean, there was obviously foreshadowing for next week and probably stuff down the line, but it was really good fun. I love the use of UNIT in it. I love the way they've sort of swung it back from being a military operation to being, you know, more scientific-based with military backup, exactly what UNIT should be. It was nice to have Kate in there, a really quite moving sort of... linked to the Brigadier.
That was really good.
And I thought that was done really well. And I think there's great potential with that character. I hope she comes back and they really do something interesting with her. And the whole UNIT setup, I think they've got a real sort of potential with that. And I hope they really sort of take advantage of that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Chris Chibnall this year has been on top form. I mean, he did 42 in the Silurian Parter in 2010. Those weren't too bad, but they weren't brilliant either, but these two that he's done this year are absolutely fantastic.
Well, I think, you know, people are re-evaluating him now after all the fan hate he's had over the last couple of years, and, you know, we'll see how it happens.
I totally agree. Power of Three, excellent, my favourite episode of the series as well.
I mean, if I had a gripe, I would say that the ending was a bit arbitrary, it was a bit tacked on, a bit sort of rushed, and I think Stephen Berkoff was completely wasted in a very minor role. You know, if you've got an actor of that quality, you know, you want to build him up, and it's like I said just earlier on about having proper villains. You know, there's a guy who can play a proper villain. And yet he's just... resigned to sort of like a couple of minutes screen time with some sort of very Farscape-like makeup, I thought.
I was thinking of Farscape too when I saw him, because he reminds me of sort of cross between Scorpius and a baked potato.
But a very good episode, very, very good character moments in it. I really enjoyed them. I really enjoyed the UNIT aspect, and of course it makes downtime canon.
I've never actually seen Downtime.
Downtime is an independent produced video from the 90s, which features Sarah Jane, Victoria, Professor Travers, the Yeti UNIT, and of course, the Brigadier. Mm. And of course, the Brigadier's daughter, Kate. Of course, played by a different actress. I think it's on YouTube. It was up to a couple of months ago. Check it out. It's well worth a look.
I shall check that out then.
Just be prepared for something that's not the quality of Doctor Who that's on television at the moment. And if you can go with that, And to be honest, it's not even Doctor Who of a quality that was on television before the cancellation of the classic series, you know, but if you can take the cheapness, and it is cheap, you know, it's well worth a look. It's got some good ideas in it.
Did it have Benton in it?
No.
Mike?
No.
No?
But it's, you know, it's quite interesting. But yeah, I thought it was a really good episode. I love the effects of the boxes. That was quite good. And I'm very interested to see where it goes next week with the final appearance of Amy and Rory.
Shall we do some a little bit of, you know, bit of predictions for next episode?
I predict it's going to have Amy and Rory leaving and have the angels in it and River Song because, you know.
You've seen that, though.
Yeah, but that's as much as I'm going to predict because the only prediction is that there are no predictions.
Amy going to die!
But I have heard from people in the know that it is a very good episode. So, you know, we'll wait and see.
Mm-hmm. I am looking
These
forward to
These five episodes have come around really quick, I have to say.
It's a shame that, you know, we have to wait another time. I mean, last year it wasn't so bad because we got seven and then six episodes. Now we've got five and what? 5, 13, but we got to wait until Christmas is my point, and I don't think I can wait that long.
Well, we'll just have to see.
Oh, wait. I suppose I can, because we are watching some nice stuff at the minute, so let's head into enjoyments of the week.
Well, I suppose we'll start off by where we left off in the last episode, when I threw down a challenge. And what was that challenge?
That was for me to watch a film that I've never seen before, or watched all the way through. That was a complete surprise to me at the time of the recording. And that was Planet of the Apes.
The original 1969 one. Now not the Tim Baker one.
Before this,
that's rubbish.
Before this, I'd always said, oh, Planet of the Apes is rubbish, rubbish, rubbish. And, you know, I've really proven wrong. I really enjoyed it.
It is a good film. Basically, it's the story of three astronauts who are thrown forward and land on the Planet of the Apes, a civilization where apes rule in sort of primitive sort of dwellings, and humans have been reduced to sort of mute primitives. And they're hunted for sports and for scientific experimentations. And it's basically what happens when one of the astronauts, Taylor, played by Charlton Heston,
who is brilliant, by
and
the way,
how he copes with this world and how he finds out more about it. And it's, if you haven't seen it, go and watch it. You won't be disappointed.
And I'm telling you now, it's got one of the greatest film twists and film lines in it. Get your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape.
And, you know, I'm glad you enjoyed it because, you know, it was a big part of my childhood. The whole Planet of the Apes phenomenon, not just the first film, but the telly series, the cartoons, the comics.
But not only did I watch Planet of the Apes, I've also watched Beneath the Planet of the Apes and Escape from the Planet of the Apes, which were two brilliant films, just as brilliant as the first. Now, Beneath the Planet of the Apes is the story of another astronaut, Brett, who is looking for Taylor, and he finds Nova, who is a friend of Taylor, and they end up finding Taylor beneath the Planet of the Apes, obviously, hence the title, and there's a big war sort of thing, and the dialogue and action in this.
Well, it's a sort of confrontation between the mutants that live there, the humans, and
the mutants.
The apes.
That's what it reminds. That's what the guy from last night's Doctor Who reminds me of. He reminds me of the mutants, doesn't he? Of course, between Scorpius and them. And they're worshipping a missile, to put it in.
Cobalt bomb. But we won't give away any spoilers that he's about to. I can see he wants to.
Yeah, I know, it's really hard. Go and watch this one. This is really good too.
And then, of course, there's the third film, Escape from the Planet of the Apes.
Which is just weird.
Where the two main ape characters go back in time to 1973, all those years ago. And sort of what happens to them as they sort of land on Earth and how they sort of cope with the humans. And it's sort of almost a reverse of the first film, very cleverly.
Yeah, it's brilliant. You know, it's got, I can't remember the actors and names in this, but it's got, you know, I can't even remember the character names now.
Cornelius and Zira, played by Kim Hunter and Roddy McDowall.
Which, they are two fantastic actors and characters, to be honest with you.
Roddy McDowall was a superb actor. Kim Hunter also appeared in many, many films. Outside the Planet of the Apes film, she's probably best known for the film A Matter of Life and Death with David Niven. check that out as well. That's a pretty damn good movie.
Now, there's another quite a sad ending towards this. I'm not going to give that away, but let's just say Planet of the Apes aren't very good with a happy ending so far.
But let's just say that. They are great endings.
But they are great endings, yeah. I won't not say that. They are three excellent films, and I'm looking forward to watching the next one, which is Conquest. I'll be watching that and give you my review. We've also been watching Space 1999! Woo! As you can guess from our opening theme song today, and the closing from last episodes, which was Series 2. So, I was going to say something else. What was I going to say? Never mind. Dad, talk us through Space 1999.
Well, Space 1999 was produced in 1975 by Gary and Jerry Anderson. Gary? Jerry Anderson? Sylvia and Gary Anderson.
Jerry Anderson! Can you speak today, man?
Well known for their puppet shows, Thunderbirds, all them. And it's basically the story of what happens when a moon base, on the moon, obviously, and its crew are thrown out of orbit and the moon goes sailing off into space and their adventures on the way.
Now this has got to be... It was originally going to be the second series of UFO, which is another great Jerry Anderson thing. I think it was his first live-action thing.
Yes, pretty much, yes.
Yeah, and this, unfortunately, UFO got canned because the ratings in America dropped, and they said, well, I've built all this stuff and I've got everything together, so let me just do a separate show, and he did. And it was brilliant. That is, I think I've seen, 10 episodes now?
10 episodes of the first series.
And I've loved every minute of every 10 episodes, and, you know, some of them are really, really weird, most of them are really weird. But it's weird in a good way, because sometimes you get weird things that just don't make sense.
Again, it was a big part of my childhood, had a lot of the toys. You know, it was something that was always on, it was something we always watched. And I haven't seen it for a few years properly, and I have to say, it stands up really, really well. There are some really good ideas in the story, some really nice performances, some really nice design of the planets. And the special effects for a program that's nearly 40 years old
is
stand up really well.
Okay, some of the planets are bouncy balls, but, you know.
Yeah, but,
the other effects are brilliant. The way the models are shot, it's really good. If you haven't seen it, there's the DVD available on Amazon.co.uk or .com, I think.
Well, you know, it's quite readily available. And I have to say, they've done a spectacular job of cleaning up the picture and the sound for the DVDs and the Blu-rays. And
it's brilliant. It's
like
watching
a Blu-ray. Really is. It, you know, as somebody who's watched it, you know, a good few times, you know, on the old sort of tellies, watching it now, it just gives it a complete breath of fresh air. And it is really, really nicely done.
It's like a completely new show altogether. It has been confirmed that they've been making it, but I don't think it's going to be as good.
Well, we'll have to wait and see, you know.
I can't judge, but I'd like to. I'm going to watch it anyway.
I mean, you know, some remakes, a lot of them, most of them, do fall flat. But we do have the occasional Battlestar Galactica, which I thought was going to be awful. But and turns out to be absolutely brilliant. So, you know, we'll wait and see.
Yeah. You can find these if you can't afford the box set, or can't get hold of the box set or anything. You'll find most of them on YouTube. Not as clear as the DVDs, but
no,
you know, you can still watch it.
I have to say, it's one of the things that I think it is worth paying out for the DVDs, because it's such a brilliant and crisp transfer copy. It really is worth getting.
And it's a brilliant show too. However, the second series, I've been told, goes to pots.
Well, you know, it's not really fair to judge without seeing it, but certainly I prefer the first series as opposed to the second one, which is basically lots of rubber monsters and silly ideas and daft aliens
and robots. They get rid of Victor. They can't get rid of Victor. Right, he doesn't know anything. You know, why here is Victor? I have no idea. What's coming up, Victor? The computer doesn't know anything.
But yeah, check it out. It's a great piece of 70s sci-fi.
Yeah, 70s sci-fi, you know, is sort of the peak of sci-fi, really, wasn't it?
Well, there's some good stuff in there.
Right, we're about to finish, so I'm just going to mention we've continued watching Chuck, which is fantastic.
Good fun. Nice characters, you know, it's frothy, but it's well done.
It is, it's great. If you don't know the story of Chuck, it's pretty much about a guy who gets an email from his old college friend, and it turns out to be a load of government secrets that are now stored in his head and can be released when he sees something to do with it. Say, an audio, a signature, that kind of thing. It's
sort of
brilliant.
Sets off a computer program in his head that he sort of identifies and sort of thing. But I think the plot is very much secondary to the characters, and I think that is its strength. You know, it's got some nice comedy in there. It's like I said, it's quite light and frothy, but it's a good show.
And there's also lots of different character chemistry as well. And it's brilliant. It's really good. I think the only thing left to do now is for Dad to reveal the surprise segment film.
And the surprise segment film is that I haven't actually got a surprise segment film this week. And I can't find anything more surprising than that.
So, it's time to end this different episode of the Liberating Podcast. So, you know.
We do apologise for the delay in between programs, but we will try and be more regular next week.
We did promise this last week, and we're so sorry, but you know, we
real
will
life
do
gets in the way, as they say.
Mhm, it's true, because we have lots of things to do and stuff, and you know, sometimes it gets in the way. But I'd like to say we are very sorry. So, from me, it's goodbye. You can contact us through all the ways. I'm sure you know them by now. Facebook, Twitter, email, that kind of thing. If you aren't already a member of the Liberating Podcast Facebook group or Staggering Stories, I suggest you come with now because they're two great groups. And I really, 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 really enjoy listening to the other podcasts, which is good fun. So, it's time to end this. Oh, and by the way, I think I'd like to say this. If you're not already a member of the Liberating Podcast group, I'm happy to accept anyone in there. And you can see my little sister Gabby's picture of a Dalek, which is, you know, excellent for a 6-year-old. But I think it's now time to end this podcast with a bit of Space 1999 music.
Courtesy of Barry Gray.
You have been listening to the Liberating Podcast featuring Will and Gareth Lloyd. No copyright infringement or violation is intended. Join us next time for pretty much more of the same.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Farewell. Farewell forever.